Don't forget, a dinner with herbs where love is better than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Do as good as you can to provide as many material things and goods as possible for your family, but don't ever start sacrificing family to go in excess, okay? Don't start sacrificing family to go to keep up with the Joneses or the modern pace of what becomes the status quo. You've got to learn to just be content, amen? And if you have any say-so over that schedule, just choose rather to be with the kids, with the wife, with each other as a family, rather than work to provide for excess. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. I know work's demanding, and there's going to be some work necessary for the status quo. But don't forget, folks, the status quo in America just keeps growing and keeps growing and keeps growing. If you don't believe that, just take a driver out in the area here. It's unbelievable. So be content. A modest income, modest living, with a happy family is invaluable. Invaluable. Okay, now, verse number 7, chapter 16. The wise man said here, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Lesson 51 is, living life wisely means I realize the secret to security. I realize the secret to security. Now, the Second Amendment to our Constitution guarantees our right as a citizen of this country to keep and bear arms. Now, I appreciate that. And the Founding Fathers wrote that in there, I believe, moved by the providential hand of God. Because the Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees us that right. Without that right, our other rights would be seriously impaired. One of the ways that we protect our other rights guaranteed us by the Constitution is the fact that we have the right to defend ourselves and to keep and bear arms. And we live in a communist state here in Illinois that really has overstepped its boundaries as far as the Constitution is concerned. It really has. This FOID card business is unconstitutional. It really is. But we're there, so we've got to live with it. I am for owning guns. I'm for learning how to shoot them properly. And if need be, using them for the protection of family. And with me saying that to a bunch of young couples with young children, if you do have weapons in your home, fellas, you better go to great lengths to make sure that your kids cannot get to them, okay? Or else they're disarmed so that there can't be no accidents, can't be any accidents. I sleep with a gun in the nightstand beside my bed, but the clip is not in the gun. The clip is loaded. And it's there. And man, when my kids were small, I dealt with them on that issue. All the other weapons are unloaded in the house, and they don't know where the ammunition is. So you better take great pains with young children. Amen. They make those little guards and everything. Trouble of it is, if you ever need something, and you got one of those trigger guards over there, and fellas, you say, well, I can't afford a pistol for my wife anyway. Greatest protection for a woman is get her a 20-gauge shotgun with some buckshot or something like that. Guarantee it. You point that down the hallway and you're in business. Amen. So just make sure just make sure you ain't pointing at a kid. And that's dangerous. Okay? So, boy, you wouldn't want anything to happen. So if need be, use them. A great deterrent to someone attempting to harm you or your family is the open end of a shotgun barrel. Yep. That's a great deterrent to that. Okay? And I'm not against that. I'm sorry. If that's too tough for some people, I'm sorry, but it's a great deterrent. There's a reason why they wrote that in the Constitution, all right? Now, there's nothing wrong with security systems. There's nothing wrong with alarms, good common sense, security measures taken by family to protect yourselves. But there is a security system available to the child of God that's much cheaper, and it has far greater potential than Doberman Pinscher or a Rottweiler or a shotgun. And I'm not against any of those at all. The Bible makes it clear that God will keep a man's enemies under control if that man's ways please the Lord. Did you see that? When a man's ways please the Lord, he, that's God, maketh even his enemies, the enemies of that man, to be at peace with him. I'll trust the Lord over any shotgun, over any security alarm system. I'll trust God over all that and for all that stuff. But ultimately, friend, we're in the hand of God in this matter. Amen. My biggest concern is not whether or not the family knows how to shoot a shotgun. My biggest concern is, do we please the Lord? Are we pleasing to God? Because when we are, He makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. Let me give you some Bible examples of this. Look at here to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Can I give you four scriptures given to you? Give them to you in succession so you can see this principle lived in the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 9. 1 Chronicles 22, verse number 9. God is speaking to, or David is speaking to Solomon here, and David is telling Solomon about what God told him. And God talked to him, talked to David about Solomon. Look at what he said in verse number 9. Behold, a son shall be born to thee. This is David telling Solomon what God said to David. Who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Now, let me ask you a question. Who was going to give Solomon rest from all his enemies? God was. Who was going to give him peace and quietness all his days? God was, okay? That's what God said to David about his son Solomon. All right, let's see what happens. 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. Solomon is now king of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 24. This is talking about Solomon's reign on the throne of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 24. Are you there? Okay. For he had dominion over all the region on this side the river from Tipsa even to Azza. Over all the kings on this side the river. Watch this. And he had peace on all sides round about him. And where did that peace come from? It came from God. That's what God said he would do, right? He said, I'm going to give him peace and quietness all his days. I'm going to make his enemies to be at peace with him, okay? So here's Solomon. He's king now. And things are going good. All right, let's go to chapter 11. Same book. 1 Kings chapter 11. And look with me, if you will, three verses in this chapter, beginning with verse number 4. 1 Kings 11 and verse 4. Okay? Now, Solomon has been king in Israel for some time now. Look at verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect. Notice that phrase. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. The word perfect there means mature, complete. Doesn't mean sinless. Okay? It can't mean sinless because as was the heart of David his father, we know David wasn't sinless. Okay? We've got murder going on. We've got adultery going on in David's life. He's talking about that complete with God. That maturity, that closest to God. Okay? Since Solomon's not quite, something's happened to Solomon. His wives have turned his heart from following after God. Now look down at verse number 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. Look at that. Hadad, the Edomite, he was of the king's seed in Edom. So now, who was it that gave Solomon peace? Not God did. Now, who's stirring up Solomon's enemy? God is. Why? Because Solomon's heart got away from God. Okay, that's why. Look down at verse number 23. Verse 23. And God stirred him up another adversary. Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. So God stirred up another king. All right? So you got God here stirring up, you know, here was Solomon. His heart was complete with the Lord. He's dwelling in peace, not only in his kingdom, but he's dwelling in peace and quietness and safety from all of his enemies round about. But toward the end of his reign, his heart gets away from God. And God says, you know what? I didn't give you this peace and quiet. I didn't give you this security so you could go away from me. I gave you the security because you were close to me. So now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to stir up these adversaries. So he stirs up the adversaries. Look at 1 Chronicles. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 here. Just another verse to show you. 1 Chronicles 5, 25 and 26. This is something different than Solomon, but just another thing to show you here. 1 Chronicles 5, 25 and 26. And they transgressed against the God of their fathers. And went a whoring after the gods of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria. And he carried them away, even the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and so forth and so on. Notice here, the point I'm making is God is stirring up the adversaries. God is stirring up the adversaries. I think the same thing's true about America. I think there was a day when, as a country, we were very pleasing to God. And as a result of that, God gave us security. And God gave us peace. And God gave us on all sides. And He gave us liberty in our nation. But God does not give us liberty to serve ourselves. God gives us liberty to serve Him. And when we take the liberty that He gives us, the peace that He gives us, the security that He gives us, and we use it for ourselves, God goes, I didn't give it to you for that purpose. And so here comes your Iraqs, and here comes your Irans. And now here comes trouble. Same thing happened to the people of Israel here. So how does this apply to me and you today? It's important that we take common sense, measures for physical protection. Do that. That's not wrong. But it is just as, if not more important, that we understand that God can keep us far safer. God is a greater security system to us than anything we can purchase with money. Any kind of ADT alarm or some kind of system or a gun or anything, it becomes needful then for me and my family to work hard to please Him. Because if I'll please Him, He'll protect me. He'll keep me safe. Folks, we can take precaution to sanitize our hands properly. And we can do all we can do to avoid potentially unclean situations. But let me ask you a question. How far can you take that? Did you go to a place of business this week? Did you touch the doorknob? I mean, while you were in the store, did you subconsciously rub your eye? Or get into your, or lick your finger or something? I mean, how far can you take that? I mean, I keep the bottle of Germex in my car when I visit the hospital or places that are filthy where there are germs. I use that stuff, and I use it. My wife showed me an article that said part of the reason we're so sick is because we use that stuff. It kills all the immune system, so forth and so on. Who knows? Where has this been? Who had this in their hand before me? How many handrails have I touched this week? I preached at a missions conference Thursday and Friday, and flew after college Thursday morning, flew out of O'Hare to Columbus, Ohio. And, I rode parked in the remote parking and rode the train in and grabbed the handle so I wouldn't fall on my face, when the train takes off. How many people have touched that handle? How many things did I touch in that airport? Who sat in that plane, in that seat in that plane before me? I mean, I could go on and on and on. You can only go so far protecting yourself, okay? Now, far better for me just to work hard to make sure that my ways please Him. My heart's right with Him. Because if it is, He'll make my enemies to be at peace with me. Okay? He says He'll do that. Now, I'm not saying that, if a person gets sick, coughs or gets a cold, their heart's not right with God. Okay? You can't make that assumption. People get sick, there's viruses, that happens. That doesn't mean that you're not pleasing God. Okay? But it does mean that God will provide protection for me that I may never know about if my ways please Him. Now, Brian Sharp, this was probably 5 or 6 Saturdays ago. Brian called and he talked. He was on his way somewhere. We were talking about something. I forget what we were talking about. He was traveling to Oklahoma. And he was actually already in Oklahoma and on his way to where he was going to preach for Sunday. And we talked for a while. And then about, yes. And while he was talking to me, he goes, "Oh, man, stink." I said, "What's wrong, Brian?" He said, "I just passed the exit." And he's on the toll road. Okay, well, my toll roads don't have many exits, And, I just passed my exit because, he's talking on the telephone, not paying attention, So he passes the exit and he said, he's just aggravated like all of us get, So he's aggravated. So we talk on for a little bit, hang up. Probably 20 minutes later, phone rings and my wife brings me the phone. She says, "It's Brother Sharp." And she said, "He sounds shaken." I said, "Hello." And he said, "Brother," and he was. He said, "Brother Terry." I said, "What's up?" He said, "That detour." He said, I missed my exit." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Took me about 15 minutes out of the way, 10 minutes out of the way." He said, "I am about a quarter of a mile from a humongous, I'm back on the right road, and I'm a quarter mile from a humongous accident. There's cars in the median. There's cars, semi-trucks in the ditch. There are bodies on the pavement. Stuff is everywhere." And he said, It looks like it happened maybe 5 or 10 minutes ago. Policeman hadn't even got there yet. Fire department. You know. So here he was, aggravated and fretted because he missed his exit. And yet 10 minutes later, or however long it took him to get there, he comes upon this horrible accident. Maybe he would have been involved in that if he'd have been in that place. You say, and I've seen that happen before, and you have too. You know, that's just God. That's God watching over. That's what happens when a man's ways please the Lord. Okay? Again, it doesn't mean if I have an accident that I'm not pleasing to God. I'll talk about that this morning. Adversity comes in the Christian life. Trouble comes. Okay? Even when you're doing right, trouble comes. But I do have this verse, and I do know this principle is true. I don't live in fear of AIDS. I don't live in fear of HIV. I don't live in fear. What's that word? Phobic, you know, about our kids, you know, because you know what? I got a great big God in heaven who's pretty good at taking care of folks, people. Amen. I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to tempt God. You know, take a coin that came from the AIDS hand of a person with AIDS and put it in my mouth. You know, let your kids suck on money. No, that's ridiculous. I know, you know, that's tempting God. But when you're doing common sense measures and trying to live for God and please Him, you got a great big Father up in heaven who's pretty good about taking care of His children. Amen? So that's a principle of wisdom. Living life wisely means I realize the secret to security is not in my shotgun or my handgun or in those big rifles in the gun cabinet. It's not in my. It's not in the dog I don't have. You know, it's certainly not in a cat. Amen? And so security is in Him. Safety is in Him, okay? When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Good. Number 52, verse number 11. I like this one. Same chapter, Proverbs 16. And we got verse number 52, lesson 52. Look at verse number 11. I like this verse. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. Now, we've already talked about being up above board with your finances. Okay, that's part of living wisely. Now, here's something else to do with finances here in this verse right here. Living life wisely means I will always be just in buying and selling. I'll always be just in buying and selling. I'll be fair. That's what the word just means. Equal. Means fair, right, honest. And where we get buying and selling is the use of the words weight and balance and weights. Weights in the Bible were God's way of helping man for a system of measurement. Okay? There's nothing wrong with attempting to get the best deal you can get in any matter of buying, selling, or trading with someone else. Okay? That's common sense. Get the best deal you can. But God is against somebody being dishonest in matters of business. He is against somebody. You see, God gave man the wisdom to create scales and weights and balances in order to provide an accurate system of dealing with each other in business matters. The weights of the bag, that little phrase right there, all the weights of the bag are His work. Businessmen in Bible days carried a bag with weights in it. Okay, certain rocks or pieces of other type thing that weighed certain amounts of weight. They were so heavy. Okay, so if you went to buy 10 pounds of grain, all right, they'd put that weight out there and they'd weigh the grain, and that would be how they'd purchase grain. Or if a guy was selling grain and a man wanted to buy 10 pounds, had a 10 pound rock, okay, or a 10 pound weight, and he'd have it in his bag with him. He'd take it out, and that's what. But if somebody altered the weight, if somebody altered that measurement, okay, then it created a dishonest transaction, okay? God would have no part of the Israelites treating each other with that kind of dishonesty, and even then applied it to the transactions with strangers. God told the Israelites, He said, I don't want you to even take advantage of a stranger, a foreigner in your land. You take advantage of a foreigner, it's not right. It's wrong. And He was against that stuff. The word just means right or even. Grain, metal, other items were bought or sold using measurements that were supposed to be right. The Bible talks about later in the book of Proverbs, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. If somebody tinkered with the scale and did it in their favor, all right, to get a better deal. God knew that. You can hide it from the eyes of man, but you can't hide it from God, see. You can't tinker with that scale. You can't tinker with that weight and get by with it when it comes to God. God knows, God sees, and God has no part in that. And wants us to have no part in it. Okay? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25 here, just for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Again, I'm not against, you know, buying something at a good price and selling it at a good price. If it's a fair price. If it's a fair price. Okay? Oh, I actually skipped over Leviticus 19. Well, that's okay. We don't have time for that anyway right now. Deuteronomy chapter 25, look at verse 13. God said, thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights. That's different weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. In other words, you got one measurement for one thing and another measurement for another thing. If you're buying, you use the light measurement. If you're a heavy one, if you're selling, you use the light one. You see what I'm saying here? You don't have a different one to buy and sell with. You use the same weight to buy and sell with. You understand what he's saying here, okay? You don't gyp people. That's what we used to call it. You ever been gypped? Okay? That's what he's saying here. He's against that, okay? Look at verse 14, or verse 15. Thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. Equal, right. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have. That thy days may be lengthened. Look at this. That thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, if you're not honest in your business transactions, what does that mean? Yeah, short business. You better believe it. Not just short business, short life. God says, I'll cut your days off. That's how serious he was. Verse 16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination. That's a strong word, folks. That's not just sin. Abomination is what he said about the homosexuals. God said, you folk who are dishonest in financial transactions, you got a heavy weight that you measure when you buy, and you got a light weight that you used to measure when you sell, and you're rooking people on both ends, don't cut your days off. This is an abomination to me. All right? They weren't living rightly to have one weight to buy with, another weight to sell with. That way they could cheat both ways, okay? Now, the matter for us is to be on the up and up when engaged in business. There's nothing wrong with buying at one price and selling at a higher price to make a profit, as long as you're not gouging. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not socialistic, but I would like to know what Exxon is going to do with $8.4 billion of profit in the first quarter. You know, what are they going to do with that money? I mean, are they going to invest it? President Bush came out, you know, and he said we don't need to tax it. And I think he's probably right on that. We don't need to put a tax on that. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's the Achilles heel of capitalism. Capitalism is the Bible way of economy. But when man gets his hands on something, he ruins it. You know what the Achilles heel of capitalism is? Greed. And that's greed, friend. And that's uncalled for. Okay? Of course, our government talks, you know, here's Congress. Blah, 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 blah. If they take some of the red tape off some of the EPA stuff, we could get some oil out of our ground. The companies could go to work and invest it and build some new refineries. It's ridiculous. Okay? But I'll tell you something. The Achilles heel to capitalism is greed. And that's what God wants his people to avoid. If you come up with a product on your own, you know, and you sell it, you make a profit on it, that's legitimate. But when you start being dishonest to rook people on both ends, okay, God knows that. God knows that. We need to be fair and honest. You know, I tell you what, it's amazing sometimes. It's amazing. You know, we have these yard marks. And occasionally, that one year we advertised in the paper, said, got stuff you want to get rid of? Call us. Boy, they called. And they can use it for a tax deduction. It's totally legal. If I donate this tariff to Yard Mart for Faith Baptist Church, you know, I can get whatever that fair market value of that tariff is as a tax deduction. So they would always give us a price of the items that they donated, you know, for Yard Mart. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Thousands of dollars for stuff that you can't get $50 for, you know. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? You know, if somebody donates something to the church and wants a tax receipt, we can give it to them. But they have to state the value of the product. And it has to be fair market value. Okay? And we can rook folks. We can gyp people. They'll never know it. But God knows it. And I'll tell you something, friend. You want to make a business, short-lived. You just get dishonest. God will pull the plug on that thing quick. Amen? So if you ever have the opportunity to buy and sell, trade, just be honest. Just be honest. Be fair. You make a few dollars? Amen. That's okay. But don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. And start looking to shaft people on this end and shaft people on this end and get it coming in both ways for yourself. Amen? That's not honest. Okay. See you downstairs. Next week we'll carry on. All right. God bless you. Well, this whole book covers about everything in life, doesn't it? Brother Caleb?